This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Al-Islam to our third COVID-19 fiqh webinar, walhamdulillah. In our previous majlis, we discussed matters related to prayer makes perfect at home, all issues related to salah in jama'ah in the home. And the one before that, we discussed generally many of the rulings, the resolutions of the fiqh academies related to COVID-19, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in this majlis, we cover the issues of zakah and we cover issues related to our estate and the distribution of this estate. We know the month of Ramadan is on our doorstep and so many will be sorting out their zakah and more especially some issues related to COVID-19 and zakah inshallah. And then the matters of the estate in the unfortunate case where somebody, a relative, a family member, a friend passes away, subhanallah, then what happens with regards to their estate? We will discuss insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with regards to zakah, then what does zakah mean? So we do a quick overview insha'Allah and then we go into the matters related to COVID-19. So what does zakah mean? We know, yes, it's a pillar of al-Islam, no doubt about that, walhamdulillah, mentioned in the famous hadith of Jibreel, excellent. But what does zakah mean? Zakah means purification. Zakah means purification. And via the zakah, we purify our wealth, walhamdulillah. And then zakah also means increase. Ajib, subhanallah. You pay zakah and you get an increase. Yes, insha'Allah. That you will feel the barakah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And so zakah means purification, tahara. And it also means to increase ziyada and nama. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with regards to this matter of zakah, then how many percentage do I need to pay? Only 2.5%, subhanallah. As some ulama have done in their research, if all the Muslims out there paid their zakah annually, 2.5%, then in reality we would be able to eliminate poverty in many, many countries. But unfortunately, many people forget about lillah, forget about sadaqah, forget about nafil charity. They do not even pay their zakah, Allahu musta'an. We know Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he readied up the army to go and face those people, those tribes who did not want to pay zakah. And he says that, I will fight those who make a distinction between zakah and salah. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And so it's only 2.5%, subhanallah. Only 2.5%. Out of every 100 pounds, it's only 2.5 pounds. Out of every $100, just $2.5. The rest you can keep for yourself. Only 2.5 that you need to give back. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And when we say 2.5%, this is not of all your assets. Subhanallah, look at the mercy and the rahmah of the sharia. Only your zakatable assets. Not all of your assets are zakatable. There are specific assets and these ones are zakatable. Your car, your house, your boat, your ship, your clothes, your phones, your cell phones, your watches, all of these here, they are not zakatable. Your jewelry, according to majority of the ulama, ya ukhti, that they are also not zakatable, subhanallah. So there are specific zakatable assets, insha'Allah. Zakah is an obligation upon whom? Upon every Muslim who is free, who is the owner of this nisab. So not everybody who's got some money needs to pay zakah. No. You need to have reached this minimum quantum. When you reach that nisab, then beyond that now, you need to start paying zakah, insha'Allah. Jayid. So for example, somebody has $100, no zakah upon him. But he's now reached $5,000. Yes, now zakah is due on the entire $5,000, walhamdulillah. But then also, there are other conditions that apply. You need to have full ownership of it, and one hole needs to pass over it. What is this hole? That the lunar cycle has to pass over this wealth. Question. Does the lunar cycle have to pass over every dime and dollar and rand that I have? Or do I need to be a person of nisab for the entire 1 year? I hope you understand the question. Somebody says, I've got a business. It's a supermarket. And then I get money in and money out all the time, every day. Now, this $5 and £5 that I got today, do I need to wait 1 year to pass over it? If that's the case, then technically, I would probably be paying zakah every single day of the year. Because 1 year has passed over this money, and 1 year has passed over this one, and now it's Tuesday, and 1 year has passed over this one, and it's the fourth of the month, and 1 year has passed over this one. The answer is no. In reality, every day you will be paying zakah if you did it like that. Rather, 1 year needs to pass over you being a person of nisab. So if you've reached the quantum, you are now a person of nisab, you've reached that minimum, then 1 year must pass and you are still floating above that nisab, insha'Allah. Jameel. So you need to be floating above that nisab. Whether you now reach 10,000, 20,000, for example, businessman, he says, 3 days before calculating my zakah, I did a business deal and I made a profit of $1 million. Do I include this $1 million? It's only been 3 days. Do I include it in my zakah calculation? The answer is yes. But he says 1 year hasn't passed over it. We say that the 1 year needs to pass over you being above the nisab, not you counting 1 year over every dime and dollar. Walhamdulillah. So every Muslim who is free, who owns the nisab, who is the person who has full ownership over this wealth and the lunar cycle passing over it. We did not mention you need to be baligh. We did not mention that you need to be sane, because according to majority of the ulama, whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are American, whether you are Saudi, irrelevant to the mas'ala. The poor, they're not interested in whether you are young or whether you are old, whether you are sane, whether you are insane, whether you have mental deficiencies, they're not interested in that. They have a right over your wealth. And as long as you are the owner of the wealth and all of the other conditions are fulfilled, then zakah is due upon you. That means, according to most ulama, that the kid who's 4 years old and his father's put in his bank account, he's got an estate, he's worth maybe $1 million, then zakah must be paid on that. Walhamdulillah. Who's responsible? The guardian is responsible, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, a practical example with regards to our zakat payment. Then you take your zakatable assets, you total up your zakatable assets, the money you have in the bank, the money you have under your mattress, etc. You total up all of your zakatable assets. And for further discussion, there's the Q&A that we've done specifically related to zakah. And then there's also the Price of Salvation course that we've put together dealing with all of the details of zakah, insha'Allah. So you take your zakatable assets, not every asset that you have, but rather your zakatable assets, insha'Allah. And then you deduct your current liabilities. Maybe you have a 20-year debt. You do not go and minus and deduct 20 years of debt. No. All that you need to pay up within the next 12 months. So your current debts, you deduct those current debts. So you have a light bill which is due, your cell phone bill which is due, not your utility bill which is to be billed to you in 3 months from now or 4 months from now. No. Your landlord's not asking for rent 4 months from now and 5 months from now. What he's asking for is this month's rent. And so you deduct this month's rent, insha'Allah. So you have your zakatable assets, less your current liabilities, whatever you are left with, 2.5% of that, or easy, you just divide by 40, and you get your answer, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, and that's what you need to give out as zakah, walhamdulillah. Oh, who is zakah eligible? Surah Tawbah, verse number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists the 8 categories of zakah recipients, and any one of them you can give, walhamdulillah, or you can appoint an organization in charge of distribution of zakah to do it on your behalf. You make them technically your agent in distribution, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, with regards to COVID-19, then some have asked, am I allowed to pay my zakah early? I usually pay my zakah in the last week of Ramadan, but because of the need right now, can I pay my zakah early? The answer is yes. You can pay your zakah for next year right now, insha'Allah. You can pay your zakah up to about 2 years in advance. Al-Abbas, uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had done so. The Muslims were in great need, and so you can do that inshallah. You can this Ramadan pay zakah for the past year and pay zakah for next year inshallah. And then what you do is, next year when the time of zakah comes up, then you do a reconciliation that, you know what, I've paid £400. What was technically my zakah? I needed to have paid £700, so you make up that extra which is now due from you, the 300 inshallah, and maybe you paid extra and so nothing is due from you, walhamdulillah, and you will be rewarded in this world and in the hereafter, biiznillahi ta'ala. Jameel. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Yes, we spoke about the matters of zakah, but subhanallah, right now you have many masajid, many institutions, many imams that generally, you know, they get by all is well because the usual Friday collections that occur, people donate to the masjid, they have programs, etc. But right now things are very, very tough. There's not been Salatul Jama'ah in the masajid for many, many weeks in many countries around the globe. Maybe not all of them might be zakah eligible. And so give off your lillah, give off your sadaqah, give charity left, right and center. As some have stated, that the miser in reality is the one who only pays zakah. That's an obligation upon him. Where's the nafil? Where's the extra? Where's the sadaqah? Sadaqah comes from sidq, because you believe in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqah Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that he is the one who believes in the truth. And you also, when you give sadaqah and you believe and you have yaqeen in your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, it's not something that you're seeing right now, the promise of Allah, but you know that you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why sadaqah is called sadaqah. That's why the sister, when she's getting married and the future husband, he pays her the mahar, it's also called sadaq, to show that he is very serious, he's truthful about wanting to get married to her, he's not messing around, etc, etc. And so do not forget the masajid, the imams, the muadhineen. Don't forget the various organizations. Many organizations, charity organizations out there, they usually host events and thus they do their fundraising. Subhanallah, all of that's not going to happen this year. And so do not forget them, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So we've covered matters pertaining to zakah, walhamdulillah. We now move on to matters related to your will and the distribution of your estate, insha'Allah. We know the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam states that no person who has something that he needs to have sorted out, except that he should have his will written down. Don't sleep a night or two nights without having your will written down. Abdullah ibn Umar, he made sure he had his will written down and everything was ready, masha'Allah. Follow this hadith to the T, walhamdulillah. And so, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, you want to make a wasiyah for someone, especially many of us living in non-Muslim lands, we need to have a will. We have to have a will. Why? Because if you don't, then your estate will be distributed interstate according to the laws of the country. And usually, those laws are not in sync with the Islamic Sharia. And so your estate will be distributed un-Islamically. And for you to ensure that it is distributed Islamically, you need to have a will written out that I want it to be distributed according to the Islamic laws of inheritance. I want so and so to get this share and that share and this share, etc., according to the noble Quran. Yes, if you are maybe living in a Muslim country, you are in Saudi Arabia, whether you have a will or you don't have a will doesn't really mean much, doesn't really make any difference. Why? Because when you pass away, whether you had a will or you didn't have a will, your estate will be distributed as per the noble Quran. That's the default. But the default is not that in South Africa. The default is not that in the UK, in the United States, etc. So to ensure it's distributed Islamically, you need to have a will, especially in non-Muslim lands. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Somebody asks, who will inherit from me? Well, the heirs, there's a whole list with regards to the male heirs and the female heirs. But generally remember that your father, your mother, your spouse and your children, they will always inherit. Your father, your mother, your spouse, the husband, the wife, and your children, they will always inherit from you. The only way they could be excluded is if they exclude themselves. Meaning, for example, A'udhu billah, Allah save us, that the husband, he takes the life of the wife. He kills his wife, he murders her, subhanAllah. And so now, he will not inherit from her estate. مَن تَعَجَّلَ شَيْءٍ قَبْلَ أَوَانِهِ عُوقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِهِ. We have a principle in the Sharia that whoever brings something forward before its appointed time, he will be prevented from benefiting from that which was now brought forward. You brought forward the matter of inheritance, we're gonna punish you by you not being able to benefit from that inheritance at all. Alhamdulillah. So again, the father, the mother, the spouses, and the children, they always inherit. Generally, inheritance works like this, that we want to sort out the fixed heirs, the fixed shares. We want to sort that out first, inshallah. And so those stipulated by the Noble Quran that they get a fixed share, a quarter, a third, etc., then they get their share. After that, then we sort out the residual. Residual, they get basically the rest. And usually it is the close male relative, the closest male relative. It's like a boomerang going around like a radar looking for the closest male relative, and the closest male relative to the deceased gets the rest. Alhamdulillah. And we've discussed all of these matters in great detail in the course, the final rites, everything related to janazah and everything related to inheritance. Alhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, in my lifetime, can I stipulate that, you know what, I want my father to get this amount, I want my mother to get this amount, I want my wife to get this amount? The default answer is no, you can't do that. You don't have the right to do that. Why don't I have the right to do that? Because Allah, the lawgiver, has stipulated all of this in Surah An-Nisa. Whatever and whoever gets and whatever amount they are supposed to get is stipulated in Surah An-Nisa in the Noble Quran. So then why do I need to take out and make a will? Because, subhanAllah, you are living in a non-Muslim country, and if you don't have a will, then it will be distributed un-Islamically. So here you have to have a will, because you are living in a non-Muslim land. But your stipulation needs to be in sync with the Noble Quran. You cannot give to your father a share which is beyond what the Quran has stipulated. You can't give to your wife and your children beyond what the Quran has stipulated. You need to be in sync with the Quranic stipulations as per Surah An-Nisa. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, somebody then asks, well, while I'm alive right now, can I distribute my estate as I wish? Yes, you can do so as long as you are not being unjust. Meaning, you have 4 sons and you have 3 daughters. So in your lifetime, you say, well, I can do as I wish. I'm giving all my sons the money and the estate and the properties, and I'm leaving nothing to my daughters. This is unjust. This is not allowed. Also remember, if I said to my family that, you know what, this iPhone here and this tablet here, when I die, this will go to Salman. And when I die, this other one here will go to Ahmed. When I die, Sumayya will get my house. When I die, Ahmed will take the business. That won't work. That won't work. Transfer of ownership needs to occur now while you are alive if you want that to happen. As long as you are not being unjust. As for the statement, when I die, Salman, you become the owner of the business. When I die, Ahmed, you take the car. None of that would technically work. Because as soon as your eyes close and you pass away, then your 3 sons, let's say you have 3 sons, they automatically become 1/3 owner, 1/3 owner, and 1/3 owner in everything that you own. The matchbox that you own, the matches that you own, each one of them becomes a third owner in that. Every property, every item, every asset that you own, they become owners of that. And so it won't work if the other 2 brothers say, no, we don't want the business to go to you. Yes, it was father's will and wish, but right now the rules of inheritance apply. Now that father's passed away, he didn't do it in his lifetime. If he wanted you to take the car, he should have transferred ownership to you while he was alive, given you the car keys and say, Beta, my son, take the car, it is yours. Even though You know, maybe the ownership on paper hasn't yet transferred according to the authorities, etc. A legal transfer of ownership can suffice by you giving them the car, you giving him the car keys, and maybe writing it down on a piece of paper that I've transferred ownership to my son Ahmed. He's now the owner and he's responsible with regards to all matters related to that car. Walhamdulillah. I repeat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated the laws of inheritance in the Noble Quran, Surah An-Nisa. We are living in a Muslim country, by default it will be distributed as per the Quran. You're living in a non-Muslim land, you need to have a will. Why? Because if you don't, it will be distributed according to the law of the land, which is un-Islamic. So now we need to have a will so that we can allow and we can stipulate it must be distributed according to the Noble Quran. And then according to the Noble Quran, you only have a right over 1/3 of your estate. SubhanAllah, imagine, we live our lives and we amass all of this, and you only can do as you wish with 1/3 of your estate. 2/3 of your estate will be distributed as per the Noble Quran, whether you like it, whether you don't, whether you cry, whether you don't want to cry. 1/3 you can do as you wish. And even that 1/3, there are two rules attached to that. Number one, you are not allowed to distribute as you wish more than 1/3. So I want to give to a charity. I want to give to Bilal Ismail. I want to give to the Al-Kawthar Institute. You can give to them. You can stipulate in your will, I want to make a wasiyah for this institute here. I want to make a wasiyah for my non-Muslim neighbor. I want to make a wasiyah for my non-Muslim friend, for my Muslim friend. Somebody who is not an heir, the person who is not your heir, so they will not be inheriting automatically. You can stipulate up to 1/3 for them. So again, not more than 1/3. And this stipulation must be for a non-heir. A non-heir. As for your heirs, they will inherit as per the Noble Quran. Allah already sorted that out. The 2/3, they will inherit from there as per the share stipulated in the Noble Quran. Walhamdulillah. But let's say there's a father and he's got 3 sons. And he wrote in his will, un-Islamic, not right, not correct, he says there, you know what, my sons, when I die, I want all of my money and my property and my estate to go to my youngest son, Ahmed. Because Ahmed, he's going through some difficult times, and you know, that's why I want that to happen. This is my will. This is what I wish. And then he passed away. After he passed away, the 3 sons got together. They looked at the will and they said, technically, this is wrong. They spoke to the Mufti, this is un-Islamic, this was wrong. And each of the sons, they have a share in the estate, 1/3, 1/3 and 1/3. But if the first son, Salman, and the second son, Suleiman, they said, you know what? We don't need this money. We don't need it. What father did was not right. But we are okay with letting go of our haq. And Ahmed, you can take everything. Then it's fine. If the heirs get together and they acknowledge the will and the wish of the father, but it's up to them. Out of their own doing, they say no problem. It's like they were given the money in their hands and Suleiman took it and gave it to Ahmed. And Salman took it and he gave it to Ahmed. And now Ahmed becomes the owner of everything. So I repeat, if the heirs get together and they feel that, you know what, we were supposed to distribute it 1/3, 1/3, 1/3, 3 sons. But we want everything to go to one son because this was father's wishes and we are okay with it. We are happy with it. We are fine with it. Then it would be allowed. Walhamdulillah. Jayid. So the Quran protects the shares of the heirs. But beyond that, if they want to let go of their haq and give a sadaqah, etc., then that is up to them. Walhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, when someone passes away, everything and anything that they owned, this makes up their estate. Sometimes we think that the estate is only the money in the bank and the shares, etc. No, no, no. Every book, every pen that this person owned, the earphones that they owned, the shirt in the cupboard, the underwear that they owned, everything and anything that they owned forms part of the estate. Whether there's great value to it or whether there's no value to it, it is part of the estate of this individual. Then we need to sort out the funeral expenses of this individual who passed away. Then we need to sort out their debts, subhanAllah. So when we are working out our zakah, we less our debts. And also here, because money you owe to Brother Ahmed, your neighbor, money you owe to Vodacom because you've not paid up your bills for the past 3 months, etc., that's not your money. So how can it be distributed amongst your heirs? It doesn't belong to you, nor does it belong to your heirs. It belongs to Vodacom and it belongs to your neighbor. And so we need to sort out the debts. Debts are divided into two categories. Debts to Allah and debts to mankind. What debts to Allah? Maybe you haven't paid zakah for 3 years. So we need to sort out that zakah. Maybe you haven't fasted some Ramadan days and you passed away. We need to pay the fidya with regards to that matter. Maybe there was some kafara due, etc. Maybe you haven't made hajj. And so we need to sort out that hajj. And hajj was an obligation upon you. Jayid. And so we need to sort out these debts owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also sort out debts owed to mankind. After we've sorted out all the debts. So we sorted out funeral expenses. Then we sorted out debts to Allah, debts to mankind. Then we look, did this person make a wasiyah? Did you make a wasiyah for a charity that you want to benefit in the hereafter by making this wasiyah? Maybe the purchase of some copies of the Noble Quran put in a certain masjid, maybe a waqf, etc. Whatever. Maybe you've made a wasiyah and it's good to make a wasiyah, especially if you have a lot of wealth. Walhamdulillah. Obviously, if you are somebody who doesn't have much wealth, rather you leave more for your heirs, your children, your heirs, your spouse and your family, etc. That would be better than you making a wasiyah for an outside charity. So it depends upon your situation, your circumstances. So let's say you made a wasiyah. Remember that it must not be more than 1/3. And number 2, it cannot be for an heir. So he made a wasiyah for the Al-Kawthar Institute, inshallah, that they must use this to fund students, etc., etc. Walhamdulillah. So after we sorted out the wasiyah, whatever is left over, minus funeral expenses, minus debts, minus wasiyah, whatever is left over, that in reality is how much you really had. That in reality is how much will be left as inheritance for your heirs. And then we divide the heirs into the fixed heirs, as per the Noble Quran, residual who get the rest. For example, someone passes away and he left behind a wife. He left behind 2 sons and 1 daughter. And so because he has children, the deceased had children, then the wife will get a small 1/8, not a big 1/4. She gets a small 1/8. So she takes 1/8 and the rest will be distributed between the daughter and the sons at a rate of 2 to 1. 2 shares for the son and 1 share for the daughters, inshallah. So if there's 2 sons and 1 daughter, we'll divide the rest in 5 shares, 2 for this son, 2 for the other son, and 1 share for that daughter. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Jayid, with regards to while you are alive, yes, we mentioned that you can do as you wish, but you are bound by the rules of justice. A man came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you be a witness and I want to give such and such to the son. Have you done the same with all of your sons? No. Just this son here. You know, I want him to take this. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will not be a witness over injustice. That give all of your sons equally, etc. Jameel. Somebody says, well, I have sons and daughters and I want to distribute my estate right now while I'm alive. I'm going to give them each a house, a property. I'm going to give them a vehicle. I'm going to give them cash money in their hands and they're going to take it and they're going to become the owners. Do I distribute it 2 to 1, you know, with my my daughters and my sons, or do I give equally? Here we find that the madhahib, they differ. Imam Ahmed said, whether you're alive, whether you're dead, it should be according to the rule of 2 to 1, as per the Noble Quran. Other ulama said, no. While you are alive, the rules and the regulations of inheritance don't really apply. So as long as you're not being unjust, you can give equally amongst your sons and your daughters, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If somebody gives equally, khair and barakah. If somebody gives 2 to 1, khair and barakah. But what is wrong is, for example, you gave to the sons and you don't give to the daughters. You gave 1 daughter and you don't give to another daughter. Jayid. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Another important mas'ala related to COVID-19, that if somebody, generally, if somebody is in his marab al-maut, somebody has now reached the last stages of his life. Last stages of his life, subhanAllah. And doctors have stated maybe in a few days' time, you know, he's only got 5 days left to live and stuff like this. Allahu musta'an. That final illness. You find that the ulama state that when you are in your marad al-maut, when you are in your final illness, then you don't even have the right to do with your estate as you wish, even though you are alive. You can only do what you want with one third of your estate, and that would follow the rules of the wasiyyah. What's this about? This is about that a person is now about to pass away and he's so afraid and so frightened, subhanAllah. You know what? All my money, everything I own, I give it to the Al-Kawthar Institute. To ensure that doesn't happen, and the chances of that happening is quite high, people on their deadbed get worried, I'm at death's door right now. Forget about all my children, I want to give this in sadaqah so that I benefit in the hereafter. I want to save myself, my life wasn't lived that well, etc. And so everything I give it away in charity to ensure and to protect the inheritance of the heirs. The Sharia states you can only do as you wish, even though you're still alive, you can only do with it with one third and not the other two thirds. But I'm still alive. Isn't the rule while I'm alive, I can do as I wish? But because you're in your final illness, you are at death's door, you can't play around with even the two thirds. Just like how after your death, the two thirds is distributed as per the Sharia. This is also like a clause. It's also like a device to protect the shares and the estate for the heirs. You can only play around with the one third and not the other two thirds. Even though it's your final illness and you are alive, you cannot do with it as you wish. It will be distributed as per the laws of the noble Quran, as per the laws of inheritance. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, and that's 31 minutes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift this pandemic from the entire globe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, these videos and the people behind the scenes, etc. If there's no acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then subhanAllah, just like the person who fasted and all he earned was him tiring himself, all he got was thirst and hunger. Allahu musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, they built the Kaaba and they were ordered by Allah to build the Kaaba, and they still made the dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna, O Allah, accept from us. And so for all of these efforts, we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. It might be something great and grand, but if there's no acceptance, then it's tiny and minuscule and it means nothing. But something small, and if there's acceptance, then it is grand and great, insha'Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to protect you, protect the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until we meet again. Insha'Allah, for the month of Ramadan, we will be having a series on the major sins and purification of the heart. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Hayyakumullah. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.